Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Father, thank you this morning. We bless you, we glorify and we adore your name. Thank you for your kindness, thank you for your mercies. Thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you for blessing us with yet another week, we pray. Our Lord, this morning in your presence, you affect our lives, you speak to us, and that you will not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Why don't you shake one or two people? Tell them it's good to see you this morning. God bless you, and you may be seated. Yes. Some people don't greet anybody. I'm going to preach about a message this morning. Amen. Are you glad to be here? All right. We're looking at subtle disloyalty. Subtle disloyalty. Disloyalty that is subtle. You get it? Disloyalty that is subtle. Or if you want to call it subtle. Now, we're looking at disloyalty because the Bible says that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is a requirement in stewards that a man be found faithful. Even as I'm preaching, a few things come to mind about some things that are around that the people who are in charge of it are not faithful. Which I don't want to bring in to spoil the message I'm preaching. But it is very, very important that if we are giving something, if we are giving a responsibility, if we are giving a privilege to do anything in the house of the Lord, that we do it faithfully. You know what I'm saying? Faithfully, we're talking about not having surprises. You see, surprises are not nice when it comes to when it comes to church work. You see, when you get a gift as a surprise, it's wonderful. Yolanda, okay. When you get a gift as a surprise, it's good. But bad behavior as a surprise in the church is not nice. You see, so we are all what you call stewards. We are all people who have a responsibility to God to be at our best and do our best in the church. And if you understand what I'm trying to say, the fact that God has given you a church to be part of also means that you should be a good person in the church. Isn't it? Isn't it? So, as a church member, you need to be faithful. Your faithfulness comes when you have to do all the things you have to do that is requested of you. I mean, if you join the Rotary Club or the Lions Club or the Tigers Club or the Rabbit Club or the Yari Club, whatever club you want to think about, when you join such a club, you have to do what is requested of you. Otherwise, your membership is not so appreciated. In a similar manner, when you are in a church or when you join a church, when you take a church as your church, you are required to be faithful to the church and to God who gave you the church. Let me understand the simple thing I'm trying to say. Right. So we are actually teaching against those that don't behave well in the church. Those that don't behave themselves properly as stewards. I was saying the other day that in many places in our country, people don't treat people well. So many places. I went to a place, I think commercial registry, land title registry, this kind of people place, this law transport kind of thing place. And the lady was helping me, so it was next. You see, one thing I don't like is when people move you. You have to sit down, and then when somebody gets up, then everybody gotta move. I don't like that. It's one of the things I hate. So if I go anywhere and you have to move chairs, I stand. If I can't stand, I sit somewhere and I watch who I'm behind. Why should I be moving? Why should I be moving? So ask yourself, why should you be? What kind of behavior is that? It's a lack of respect for people. Let us take your number. Sit down nicely. They should spend money and buy this number tickets or number tags. At least GPL, they have those things there now. You sit down quietly wherever. And then when you see your number, there you go. Don't tell me, move. And then there are some security guards who are very disrespectful. They say, yeah, move. Yeah, move. Hey, hello, you moving? Move from there, go here. Like I'm your baby, I'm your child in your house or something. No. If you're a security officer, be careful. Yes. So I went to this place and they were helping me. So it was my turn. I sat down in front of the counter, the desk, and the lady was helping me. So she got up to go into the archive somewhere to bring out something. Then a gentleman comes and sits right in front of me. And he asked me to move from where I'm sitting to the next desk because he has to help others. So I said, I ain't going nowhere. What do you mean? I should get up and move to the... Is it that musical chair kind of mentality? It's like moving from chair to chair is not a problem. I said, I'm not going anywhere. He said, oh, this is the only computer that he can go on and help people. So I should move. I said, I'm not going anywhere. I am the customer. I have sat down. By the time I get up, you must have finished with me. Yes. Otherwise, I'm going anywhere. And sometimes they make me behave ignorantly in some places. Because sometimes you got to tell them your peace of mind. So I sat down. He wasn't happy. I sat down. I said, I'm not moving. And the people, they were looking at me. I don't care. So then the girl came, helped me. I got up. I said, thank you very much, my dear. And bye-bye, I got up. Then whatever, when I leave, they do whatever they want to do. Otherwise, the lady should have known where she should serve me, not on that table. I is a big man. I is big. I is older than them boys, than them little girls there. I is them uncle or them auntie or even them father or something. They can't tell me move and get up and move you. Like I is your child or something. Nah. You gotta respect people. I say you gotta respect people. You see, in a system where sometimes you don't even differentiate between older people and younger people, it's very bad. In some countries, when you enter into the bus, I give you some country. Let's say you go to America, you have these buses, they run. Whether you pay or not, when an older person is standing in the bus and you're a younger person sitting down, you get up for the older person to sit down. But here we don't have that because the minibuses don't give us that opportunity. That's why we need big buses back in the system. All these things are training. Because Daniel sitting up here has probably not had any opportunity to get up for somebody older to take his seat before, because there's no opportunity. When he goes to the minibus, when it's full, it's full. But it was a bigger bus. When he's seated and somebody comes and they are standing, then you sit down and look at your uncle, your granny, she's standing and you sitting down. Something got to work in your mind. But we don't have that opportunity. That's why when you go anywhere, you don't respect. Because there's the few things in the society that helps us to really respect older people. Do we respect one another? Are you there? I went to an NDC somewhere on the East Bank. When we were trying to do the Land of Canaan project. So it got to a point I realized that the NDC chairman was bought by this Zuma. So when we realized that the project was not going to go further, I said, let me go and withdraw our building permit application. So I went there. When I got there, then the lady at the desk said, I should have called before coming. So I said, what do you mean I should have called before coming? He said, because where the documents are, the NDC, the board, they are having a meeting there, and it's going to take about 2 hours. So if I had called, should have told me not to come now. I said, you have opening times. You open from 8 to 4. So do you tell everybody who's coming here Monday to Friday to call before they come? I said, no, you know, if you are... I said, please, don't start. You people are here. I didn't say that, but you are corrupt. Somebody there in the zoo is blocking an entrance. He's owning the whole place. You can't tell him anything. Now, I want my documents. You're telling me I should have called before coming. Which office do you go and they tell you should have called before coming? I said, get me my documents. She said, they are having a meeting in the room where the papers are, and she can't go in. I have to wait until they finish. I said, when are they finished? He said, 2 hours time. I said, you, 2 hours time? I came from Georgetown to the East Bank. I should sit down here for 2 hours? You, something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. So I said, if somebody else came here, you would have marched to go and find a paper for him. I opened my mouth. You know, when you are Guyanese, you got to open your mouth. Yeah. Then she was still not badging. Then she started locking the door where she was. She locked it. So then I went, I could stand somewhere and look into the hall. So I looked and I said, Mr. Chairman, hello, excuse me, can somebody help me? So there were about 20 people around the table, the board meeting. They all looked at me. I said, I need some help. I want somebody to help me, somebody who understands. Then, of course, the meeting came to an abrupt end. They got out of the meeting. They came and said, what's happening? I said, I want my building application now. Then the lady said, the man said, oh, but why? I said, but why? Why would she tell me to wait for 2 hours? If somebody else had come here who's a big man who gives you people money, the lady would have just walked into the meeting. He said, but why are you talking like that? I said, why am I talking like that? You know what I'm talking about. I told the chairman. He said, but why? You see, he said, your profession and the way you behave doesn't matter. I said, I know who I am. Don't tell me nonsense. I need my papers now. I was there. The lady went, brought my documents. I said, thank you very much. Have a nice day. And I left. Stewards are not faithful. You go to a government place, you want some help, they didn't get time with you. You are there on their phone, texting and playing Golden Crush or Diamond Crush or Silver Crush. What? Candy Crush. Playing solitaire on a computer that doesn't work. And they are not even looking at you, at your face. You go to places, you buy things, you put the money in their hands. When they are changing, they throw it on the counter for you to pick up. These are stewards who are not faithful. They are not treating people well because the business is not for them. If they were earning money from the business themselves directly, they treat people well. Because anytime you meet the boss man of a company, who knows how to do business, they treat you well. applied in UL, was it when 2007 or 2006, I applied for a MasterCard from Scotiabank, Rob Street. Up to today, I don't know where the request went to. And I know the guy. I know that the guy is a member of a church, a leader in the church. I know him. If you take that, I'll point him out to you today. I know who I applied the thing with. Up to today, the card has not come. It is going to come when Jesus comes. Stewards, I'm not faithful. So when we join the church, then if you don't take it, we bring an attitude of unfaithfulness. Then we don't care whether our behavior or what we say or what we do is nice and to affect the church or not. We don't care. Now, how can we detect those kind of things? That's what we're talking about. And I'm ending it today because next week we're starting Feeding 5 to 7, which we're going to do with a book, all of us, for another 5-6 weeks. So we're saying that disobedience, not obeying, is one of the subtle or quiet or not so easy to detect things that makes somebody unfaithful, somebody you cannot depend on, somebody who can disappoint you. How many will want to relate with somebody who will disappoint you? Sean or Travis? No, you don't want to deal with anybody who will disappoint you. Eh? Professor, where's Mike? Ningom? You tired?
You have a drive with me.
You got a drive today. You won't make more money. But nobody, especially when it comes to heart matters, you trust somebody, you love somebody with your heart, and then the person now disappoints you. Hey, dear, look at this thing that you have in front of you. If the owner says, the co-owner says that, me know you. Hey, it's not nice. It's not nice. In a similar way, there are church members and people in the church who can disown you, who can disappoint you. And to know such people, you need to look at some small things. One of it is disobedience. The next thing is somebody who is a scorner, who scorns. And then somebody who is also inflexible. I mean, once they say this, that's it. They can't bend. They can't shift. They can't change a routine. They can't twist anything for anybody or for nobody. Are you here? I'm the one preaching. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
They will not twist. They will not batch. They will not shift. They will not adjust. They will not mind you. This is it. Are you inflexible? If you are inflexible, it means you are a potential killer. It means that when it comes to killing, you kill. Talking about killing, I was vexed. Yeah, just about yesterday or so. I was vexed, daddy. You see, Sister Wifin, these people who say they are the law and they are the people running this country, they have to kill people. When somebody kills somebody, we have to kill the person. You don't understand what I'm saying? You gotta let them stand there and shoot them. Done. Look, I'm a pastor. If you talk, I deal with Bible. So when somebody kills in the church, we show compassion because the Bible says we should show compassion. But if somebody takes a woman, tricks her and say, come and pick up a package somewhere, and the person goes there, and then for about a day or two, we can't find the person, only to realize that the person's body is and the throat is slit, and the guy has confessed to the thing. The next thing is that you take a gun and you shoot him like that. Let's see who will try it again. That's why people are killing people all around the place. The lawmakers have disappointed the system because they are saying, "What? No death penalty, no whatever." Do you know a country that says no death penalty? Do you know the laws that work there? We are following other countries. Do you know the systems that are in other countries? Why they are fighting for them? Even America, they kill people. Injection and electric chair. Because when you meet crazy people, you have got to treat them in a crazy way. A good general, in Bishop's the latest book on the what? A good general, the science of leadership. He says you must fight extreme with extreme. In the church, you fight extreme with extreme. There's no army officer who, when the people, look at how Maduro in Venezuela was trying to take over our country. That is when Granger came and he said, all the mosquito army people who are around, they said, move around. I mean, I don't know whether we could have faced them. We would not have faced them. We cannot take Venezuela at all. But at least, you know, he brought all the people from wherever, and they were doing parachute. I don't know whether the plane will work. I don't know whether the parachute will open. But at least they got up and show. They did something, you know. They said, hey, we are not asleep. We also have some army. Yeah. I wonder whether the parachute will open when they come down. They say independence, they're going to do some shows. So we'll see. If somebody's child doesn't fall and drop dead, we'll see. Are you following? So, even in America, death penalty has not been abolished. So, in Guyana, we cannot abolish death. You see, if you're a judge, look, somebody's total. So, what's going to happen to the guy? So next time when you are also killed, you know, that's it's finished. 1 week time, we bury you. You see a lot of people on cemetery road, bacchanaling and drinking, and that is your end. And then somebody who confesses, he has confessed to the thing. What was you teaching him? He's still alive. He must follow the girl into the grave. I'm speaking as a civil person, as an individual who lives in the society. When it comes to the church, we use our heart, we laugh, we tomack all the nonsense, because that's what the Bible teaches us to do. But when it comes to outside in the secular world, you can't use the Bible. You have to use how people understand things in the secular world in a different way. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, when you, God forbid, that you will not die, but if somebody dies, it's going to continue. Some people kill people and say there's no evidence. No evidence? That's why people pass at the back before they realize that the person is dead. It's like the people are even teaching us how to deal with problems. They say, hey, new government, we are excited. We have a very far way to go. Otherwise, you get in, you fall in love with a crazy guy. And you say you don't want him anymore. That's why a lot of women cannot leave their child fathers and their boyfriends, because they know that if they say no, it will kill them somewhere else. The society is spoiled. Yeah. In case some of you guys who come to church, your head is not good. If a woman says they don't love you anymore, there are so many women around. There are even prostitutes. There are even men standing somewhere. You can have sex with men if you like. What is your problem? You just go and kill people. The pastor is promoting homosexualism. No, I'm trying to, the temper, the hotness you have, you find a dog or something. Who will not say no? You can tie the dog to you. Everywhere you go, you can take the dog with you. No, it's sad that the guy has confessed to the crime. The girl is gone. Her throat slit. Down to the canal, in a trench, in coming smudge. Hello! You small, small girls, you grow up loving idiots. That's why it's good to come to church. So you can learn some sense and not give your heart to some crazy idiot who the only thing you can do is look for gold in the interior. And it's the interior and it's controlling your life in Georgetown. You can't go nowhere. I called you, you're not home. Where were you? Where are you going with my child? What kind of nonsense? Like you own people. You want to own them, you marry them. Put a gold diamond finger on their hand. So we know that it's your own. Come bring the lady to church and do a blowout sale. So when you get vexed, you know, oh yeah, I mean, the guy got vexed because the party was 2,000 people who came. Everybody was taken to a Marriott. Everybody got a nice dinner plate from Marriott. They, at least we understand how your heart is broken. Apart from that, you don't own anybody. Even God Almighty himself, who created us, says that if you like, whosoever believes in him, he's not saying he must believe in Jesus. Like everybody being judged this morning. Even God Almighty, who gives us breath to breathe, says that if you like, if you want, if you like, if you will, if you have ears, hear. And then you, the human being, you take and you just cut. When I saw the guy confess to it, I said, please, I didn't even read the story. I was so bored. Is that the destiny of our children and our church members in this country? That anybody can just rise up and just kill them like that? Yeah. Hey, they shouldn't try you. Nobody should tell them. Hey, don't try my church member. You see, pastors can kill, I tell you. No, they shouldn't try at all. Because if a shepherd who has sheep, anybody comes to take the sheep, you know what happens? You know what happens when somebody comes to take your sheep? You deal with them. So I'm saying that, you know, we that's that the church is supposed to be better. The church is supposed to be a place where things work better. The world, there's craziness, there's all of that, but in the church, things must be better. So as a church member and as someone who comes here, you must be faithful. You should be flexible. So the next thing this morning is rudeness. Rudeness. Rudeness is a sign of danger. People who are rude are people who one day can just explode in your face. Are you there? I'm talking about rudeness, and most of the time, our things are quite rude. What? What do you want? Sometimes I'm in the house, and my children, one will call one, and then she'll say, what? When I hear that, I get vexed. I say, you're a bush girl. When somebody calls you, you don't say, what? You say, yes. You respond. You say, what? What do you mean by what? What kind of question is that? When somebody's calling you, you don't ask a question. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. You can't call and say, what? What do you mean by what? What is what? Marissa, what? I will slap you. What do you mean by what? It's rude. What? Phone call. You can't even end the phone call properly. Say, all right, thank you. What kind of thing is that? But at least if you see him later, it's a sign that you're going off. But it's and the people hear badam. They say, oh, okay, that was the end of the call. You pick a phone? Hello. Good afternoon. How may I help you? That's why in our church, you see, sometimes you have phone around. We don't ask just any and anybody to answer the phone. Because somebody calls a church, all they get is that, Hello. I said, don't touch the phone again. Nobody has asked you to pick up any phone in the church. Because if you answer the phone in the church, there's a way you answer it. Rudeness is a subtle sign of disloyalty. To be rude means to be impolite, especially in a deliberate way, without culture, learning, or refinement. If you are rude, it means that you are not refined. I say, if you are rude, it means you are not refined. You don't have a culture. You are not cultured. You don't know how to do things. Rudeness is a sign, a quiet sign of disloyalty. Yeah. No manners. You don't got no manners. No manners at all. You don't respond. When we ask you a question, you don't respond. How many are coming tomorrow? Your hand is down. How many are not coming tomorrow? Your hand is down. You are rude. But you are dangerous if you are rude. Well, if you are not, if you are going to do something or not going to do something, you must make it known. Rough in manners or behavior, unmannerly, uncouth. You're harsh, you're rough. Roughly wrought, built or formed, of a crude construction or kind. Not properly or fully developed. Raw, 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 raw. Monday night raw. You are too raw. Now, I don't know where, for example, this thing has come from, but you don't eat rice only with a fork. Ah. If you give me rice, you want to give me a fork, add a knife. Otherwise, give me a spoon. Spoon picks up rice more. Ain't got time for, if you put the fork, you take, then it goes over and it goes through the hand. By the time you get to your mouth, the whole thing has fallen down. We ain't got time. I'm hungry. Give me the spoon, like a spade, like a shovel, that can just go inside like that, straight into my mouth, into my stomach. I am interested in my stomach. Mama, you're trying to play like you some manet cultured lady. You don't eat a lot at the same time. You just take a little. I don't have time. I'm deep on that. No time to waste. Time is precious. So those who know me, when they serve me with rice, they give me a spoon or a fork and a knife, so that I can use the knife to load the fork and press it properly, and I can otherwise. Come on. It's too much of space. So the knife now, because a fork goes with a knife. We were having a get together some time ago, and I went to this place on Crow Street. Is it Crow Street? North Road. This place where they sell toys and things like that to buy this nice fancy plastic cutlery. So I mean, I was calculating the money, and the lady who was helping me said, "Oh, you don't need to buy a knife." I said, "What do you mean?" "So in Ghana we don't use knife." I said, "It's true, money saved. Let me buy only the fork." No, nobody gives you food. It's either they give you spork, because marketing and all this has come into the extent that people are trying to cut down on what they can give you so they can get more money from you. Yeah. Look, we eat rice with spoon or fork and knife. This eating rice with fork alone, it's a new thing. It's a new thing. It's a punishment. Thank you very much. Yeah, so if you happen to have me in your house, you remember, if you bring fork alone, I'll tell you to take your food with you. Because you want to waste my time. Yeah. I have to go somewhere else also to eat again. So as I'm eating around, you can't waste my time. I have to hurry. Now, rawness is surprisingly a sign of disloyalty. Let's go to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Rudeness. Rough. Hey, rude. No, everybody move to the front. You still want to sit at the back. Nobody should sit at the back. You still like the back. It's like, you know what? Hey. Now, Cora, The son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, famous, because you are famous. You are famous and so what? I said you are famous and so what? We are in the church. Your famous doesn't make any difference to us in the church. That's why Lighthouse, if you look at Lighthouse World, I hear one of the senior men of God in Ghana was in Lighthouse preaching one day, and he asked the pastor, where are the millionaires? He said, when I look around, everybody is young, everybody is small. Where are the people who run this, who drive this organization, make you so rich? Where are the millionaires? You can't even see if somebody is a millionaire. Because if you go to other churches, a millionaire is seen, hey, you can see the millionaires. Nobody has to tell you who is a millionaire. And when you come to Lighthouse, you'll be surprised that a young person can give and gives and understand giving. Yeah, and the young person is able to give and God blesses and he gives. We don't have no millionaires. Because a church with millionaires, you can't preach. Hey, they will call you after church and say, pastor, you got to take it easy, you know. When you're preaching, the way you preach is not nice at all. We say we should kill people. You're saying people should go and take dogs and all of that. You can't talk like that in a church, pastor. They will summon you to a church board meeting. If you don't take care, we will withdraw our funding. They say, all right, okay, I'll take it easy. So you continue to bring the money. Men of renown, very quickly. They said, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon yourself. This is the small boys in the church, oh, who are known, who are the princes, who are like the elders. They have come to Moses and telling Moses that he's doing too much work. Seeing all the congregation are holy. All of us are holy. All of us are anointed. Why do you do so much work? Every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. The people are now, they are telling Moses that he has lifted himself above the congregation of the Lord. You go to verse 17. After all the things they did, verse 12. And Moses, verse 12, please. And Moses sent to call, when Moses heard about the case, then he sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. You know what he said? He said, won't come. Give me a modern version. They said, we will not come up. Small boys in the church. Because they are known, because they are popular, because the people know them, and because they have something doing in the church, it makes them, when you speak to them, they are rude. He said, then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they replied, we refuse to come. Do you know who you are saying you don't want to come? The one who stretched forth his rod and something that has never happened in the world before happened. A sea was divided into two. You know who is calling you? But they don't care. They don't care. Because they are raw. They are uncouth. They are rough. They say, I won't come. This is a sign, subtle sign of this world. At least come and hear what a man has to tell you. And they say, you know what? I'll get back to you. I mean, you don't have to refuse to not to come. Anybody who refuses to do this is rudeness. The pastor is calling you, say, I won't come. The pastor calls you, you don't respond. You don't call back. Sends you a message, you don't reply. It's rudeness. It's a sign of betrayal. We refuse to come. Look at them. The small boys. I wonder if they were not even born after the Red Sea was divided. These are young guys. Korah, Nathan. These are small guys. They're telling the big man who killed somebody, who ran away, who got shot the burning bush, who went to Pharaoh, snakes, plagues, blood, flies, frogs, firstborn dying, march. You said you won't come? You know who you're talking to? You're rude, uncultured. You have not been taught anything that when an older person is calling you, no matter the case, you don't say you won't come.
hey, we are going for a camp. We are going for a meeting. This meeting. You can't say you won't come. You are rude. I say you are rude. And some of you must change your rudeness. You don't turn up for anything. You are rude. I say you are rude. First Samuel, finally. First Samuel. Hallelujah. Chapter 16, I believe. And then we'll be closing. I want to encourage you to come with us to canal number 2 to do some work. 12 o'clock. We're leaving. Even that. Rudeness. When you say, oh, I can't come. They say, no, I will come. Oh, I'll come later. Or maybe, is there another opportunity to come? Silence. Rudeness. Because the person doesn't know that when you are asked to do something, you have to respond. It is subtle. It is subtle disloyalty. Quiet. Hey. Rudeness. First Samuel chapter, that's it, chapter 16. Yeah. First Samuel chapter 25, verse 10. Nabal, you know Nabal? Yeah. Uh-huh. The meaning of Nabal is foolish. Nabal. Give me King James. David one day, he needed some food to eat. When Saul was chasing him, he needed some food for himself and his troops. So, Nabal was living not so far from where he was hiding from Saul. So he sent some people to go and, ask him for some food and some water, some ration, because they were punishing. And people knew about David. People knew how he had killed Goliath. Some people knew how he was anointed. So he sent his servants to Nabal, Abigail's husband, and said, get us some ration. And the Bible said, and Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? Yeah, who is David? Who wants us to send him some food? Who is he? And said, and who is the son of Jesse? He says, these days there are too many servants nowadays that break away from every man his own master. They sent for some food. I don't have. What is this thing about? Who is David? And these days, everybody is trying to be boss. They send you to come for food. Who does he think he is? Rudeness! Who is Pastor Collins? Don't start. Don't start to be rude. Anybody who does those things will question your heart and question your state of mind. And will know that you are not cultured. You are not cultured. Uncouthed. Like last night, when we finished working, Calvin, I don't know if you were there. Then, we all wanted to wash our hands. I had to stand and wait for my turn. I realize that these are a set of uncouthed, uncultured, raw, improper. The boys. Even the soap that we were using to wash our hands. It was finished. Who was that? Who came? Somebody brought soap, mixed soap for me. Was it you? Was somebody? Someone had to go and the soap that you missed, the cakes you missed with it, it's just crazy. Somebody had to go and bring that to give me to wash my hands. All of them were there. Everybody was rushing to wash themselves. I was standing there looking at them. I said, This is a set of uncultured. These are people who can potentially betray you and disappoint you. Because you are there, you are asking, who is you? Who is you? We are all on the roof nailing down saying shit. Who is you? All of us. If I want to. I feeling something. I got to wash myself. But sister, are you not there? Yeah, you're behaving as if you're not there. Why, are you there? Were you part of the people who washed themselves before me? No, it wasn't him alone. Most of the guys. I was standing and I was looking at them. uncultured, uncouth. Your pastor is there. We have all have been up there. We were on the roof. We were taking off zinc sheets. We were nailing zinc sheets, putting on wood 1x6. I'm learning to know how to do roof. I was up there with them. We were doing all the work. And when you come, you know that there's a pastor there. We're all workers. I'm the contractor. I have a foreman. All of them are my workers. We're working. So when we finish, we go down. Hey, everybody's washing their hands. Nobody minds me. You see, that's why if some people were there, then you see that they will say something. Because so some people, their eyes have opened a little bit. Oh, I have to wait. Judy, I have to wait. No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. If I have to wait, there's something wrong. And that's what we are teaching in the church. So that these young people coming will learn to respect big women. So that they will also in turn be respected by the children who also be growing up. But don't say, hey, who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? These days, everybody say they are man of God, man of God, man of God. Well, you know, there are too many men of God around these days. Is that your business? Is that your problem? Has that got to do with yes or no, I have food, I don't have food? Rudeness. It's a quiet sign of betrayers, rebellion, assassins, diabolic personalities in the church. I tell you, may the Lord deal with all such individuals in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet, please. And show yourself strong. Forgive us of our sins. Help us even as your word comes forth, that we'll be proper, we'll be thoroughly furnished. Your word says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, for reproof, that the man of God will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what we want. We want our reputation to be people who have wrought good works. Thank you for feeding us this morning. In Jesus' name. You're here this morning, you're not saved, you're not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You don't want to be rude this morning. You know in your heart that you're not born again, you're not saved. If you die right now, you go to hell. There's no two ways about that. It's not now that I have to massage you and have to pamper you. No, if you know in your heart that you're not born again, if you die right now, you don't know whether you go to heaven or hell. There's a heaven and there's a hell. You want Jesus to come into your heart this morning. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to pray with you. If you're here like that, just lift up your right hand so I can see, and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please, I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I need Jesus in my heart. If you're here like that, just your right hand up high, and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. Pastor, please, I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to go to heaven. Ah, Father, I give you praise. I give you glory. Somebody lift up with their hands. We give their heart to Jesus. Come. Okay. If you have prayer, so I can.
God bless you.
God bless you. Two little girls. Wow. May no man slit your throats. And start with Jesus and start with obedience to the word of God. That you don't take a man when you're not supposed to take a man. You don't ride bus with a conductor who has not bathed for about 3 days. A tout who's trying to hold you and touch you and push you into a bus. He's not interested in you going to the bus. He's interested in trying to get you somewhere. May such individuals not come your way in the name of Jesus. What's the name again? Kenisha, and you are? Ozelia. Wow, is it in the Bible? Is it Greek or the Hebrew Bible? The Torah. Ozelia. Close your eyes, pray this prayer with me. Church, join us, we pray. Father, say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth, that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead.
And I believe Jesus is alive right now. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to live and to be my master. Thank you, Father, that by this prayer, I am born again. I've been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.